He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitzjulian. Council producing intern Casey interning and Buck Rising just standing around being all around beautiful. It's Braden and Fitz ESPN 102.5 The Game. My voice is hoarse. I will admit that. It's because the party has not stopped. I think the entire Preds party, like it's its own thing now. It's gotten a life of its own. I did the Waiting for Wishes event last night, and I've decided that, like, Preds Mania, we talked yesterday about how it's going to start to eke into the media. Preds Mania has eked into everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are partying, and another late night, but I've decided that the entire city has now, like, they've got a fever, and the only prescription
is more gold.
Is more gold. We'll go with that.
More goals, more Preds. I mean, they're going to get it. Obviously, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, normal time there, which is nice to see for those of us who work very early in the morning.
Yes.
We appreciate that. But no, I was able to recoup. I was able to go home yesterday afternoon, take a little nap. Got full, had a little charity event of my own last night, open house over at Our Kids, ourkidscenter.com, of course, is the website.
Nice.
Got an actual night's sleep, so I'm feeling rested and ready to go, unlike yourself, who has yet to recover from this week's entertainment so far.
Well, you know, but that's okay. It was worth it last night. I do want to say thanks to Jay DeMarcus and Kevin Carter for having me out for Waiting for Wishes. I can give everybody a Marcus Mariota update.
I was going to say, were you actually kind of just working?
Well,
it felt like you got more work done at a charity event than the actual charity work.
Well, we weren't actually. So here's, thank God I wasn't serving. Like they, I was serving, but I wasn't, like, I'm using air quotes. Like, you can see that. But I was, the
you
way they
you
did it,
physically walking up and saying, "May I take your order?" And then bringing like four plates in one arm.
The Palm is very smart. They figured out that they shouldn't have a bunch of us that don't know how to serve steak and lobster. So, instead we were walking around to the tables, and every table had a bucket on it, in the middle. And so what you're really trying to do is get people to donate more. You want them to put something in the bucket. So you're selling whatever, you know. There was one gentleman who put a large amount of money into the bucket because he wanted his name to be mentioned on our radio show at some point. And I said, yes, I will do that for a large donation.
Did he
donation.
Have a specific segment he wanted to be mentioned?
Well, yes, but then the problem is he had way too much alcohol. And from that point, he forgot, I think, or he just, like, he was sort of stumbling, wandering because there was a last season's Bachelor. I don't know.
So the odds of him being up right now during this segment.
He never even told me his name. He never even, like, we never got that far. I was like, okay, you write your name down. I will say it on air. And he's like, I got you. And then his wife was chasing down the Bachelor try and get her picture taken. I think he became focused on other things, but
the Bachelor does that.
The money still went there.
Julian, huge Bachelor fan,
yeah,
by the way.
He is, actually. So and Mariota was there, and, you know, I had the chance to talk to him a little bit, and yes, I did sneak in a question about the leg, but it certainly looked fantastic while he was walking from table to table. He looked fine. But
so we now have two reports. He was able to walk down three steps at the Titans facility on video, very well done, and last night wandering around on a very flat surface at a restaurant. Probably had some rubber-soled shoes, I imagine.
No. He was wearing some good, swanky, swanky dress shoes. Everybody except for D-Mace was dressed up. And
of course.
You know, and it was funny because D-Mace has done this several times. And I sat at home with my wife as we were getting ready. And I was like, man, I got to wear something like that's kind of trendy, popping, look good. I gotta look good because
like what you wore at the boxing tournament.
Yeah, it was actually the same jacket. The jacket made
very hip.
A repeat visit, and so I was like, you know, because I gotta be trendy because D-Mace is gonna look good. He always looks good, and then D-Mace like came in an hour late.
Sweatpants? Did he have a onesie on?
Like worn jeans and a regular shirt, and he's like, yeah, I'm a veteran to this thing. You never want to dress up. So Mariota did not get that message. He was dressed to the nines and looked fantastic. But I actually had multiple tables pay me cash to sit down and just talk about hockey.
Well, they would pay the charity cash.
Yeah. Well, yes, right, actually, right. Pay the charity cash. All they wanted, like,
so you can't be taking money from the charity.
No, all I'm doing is saying, hey, what does it take to get you to put money in the bucket? And then the question would be, well, what can you do? And so I was like,
I'm a Grammy nominated fiddle player.
Yeah, and so I brought a violin. I was like, I will walk around from table to table if need be to raise money. And I played at the after party for hours. It was actually a blast. But there were multiple tables that actually listened to the show and said, man, I want to talk about this Preds matchup. And they just started. And you'd sit there, and while you're sitting there talking to them, they're just throwing more cash in the bucket because you're having a Preds conversation. And I was like, how far has this Pred fandom come that we're now in a spot where you're at a air quote celebrity event, if I'm there, it's air quoted, and through that process, people will pay money just to have a conversation about Smashville.
I know we've talked about this and had this conversation about this sort of growth and maturation process before, but I really think there's and I wrote about it for the game website a couple of weeks ago. It's very clear that as what this series means to this franchise and this team and sort of the love of the game in this city, that this moment is sort of what we've been building towards for 15 or 20 years. Now, obviously, what happens from here on out if they win on Thursday night, tomorrow night, and they continue on a run, you know, if it's St. Louis, obviously, is what it looks like it'll be in the second round. If that was a matchup and that was successful and they get farther than they've ever gotten, because it's Chicago and because they were such a heavy underdog, and because it's taken 20 years to get to this point, I think I know we've talked about it, but it bears repeating when you continue to hockey is boiling over, but it's taken a long time to get to this point, and it takes a thing like I was sitting there, I was walking out of the building on Monday night after the goal for overtime, and I'm just sort of looking at the crowd and looking at the fans and looking at the people, and it's just there's this new level of intensity and new level of appreciation and new level of enthusiasm that only comes when your team goes through something unexpected.
That's a really good point.
When your team goes through a moment that only, like, sports is so great about this. Like, this is what makes sports fantastic. Your team can be an 11 seed in the NCAA tournament and end up in the Sweet 16. Like, that's what that people remember those. Like, MTSU goes to the second round. Everyone remembers that stuff. So I think it's, sports can do that for you. And I think much like music, where you're at a concert and you see a cover show or somebody shows up that you weren't expected, there's a cameo, and like everyone remembers where they were when Peter Frampton walked out with Red Hot Chili Peppers at Starwood Amphitheater in 1999. Like, I was there. I remember that. Obviously, that moment sticks out in my head. There's just something special that sports, when it's unexpected and you're all on the ride together, and for Nashville, it's more than that. It's bigger picture. It's 20 years of growth to this point. But it's an unexpected sort of surprise, fun run to something nobody thought that this franchise could do. And now there's more opportunity, and it's people are catching on, and it's infectious.
So it is funny that in an effort to keep the red out, it turns out the Preds also kept a bunch of stars out unexpectedly, because many of the celebs got in days ago. And so one of our, like, when you first got there, you had to go to this little area and get, like, your apron. You wore an apron, and everybody signed it and everything. And so, to Kevin Carter's point, he came on with this and said, most eclectic. He's not wrong. Like, for everybody from Hunter Hayes and Cassidy Pope and, like, your country people were there, but so was Vince Neil, so was Herb Street, and then a bunch of the ESPN people, and then Randy Couture. Like, they had a huge eclectic mix, but they all came into town early. So we were talking about the fact that many of them tried to go to the game, but they couldn't. They couldn't get tickets. There was no way they could get. They wanted a group of seats together. So Randy Couture was kind of joking about the fact that, like, they were all trying to like sneak their way out of an event that they were in to get to Bridgestone to go to the game, and they were calling everybody they could, and they couldn't get tickets. And one person did last night. Was like, if you can get me seats on the glass, I will give whatever it takes to do that. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of power. I talk about the team. I don't have that kind of power. So Sean Henry, next year I'm probably going to hit you up for playoff seats, because it's seats on the glass would have made a lot of money for charity. Well, who knew? Who would have expected that it's become that?
And it speaks to sort of the national appeal of this series and what's happening right now. And again, they haven't really accomplished anything yet. That's what we have to continue to remind ourselves, is that there's still a lot of work left to do in this series, much less whatever may happen after that. So
it speaks to the seventh man.
A lot of work to be done.
It speaks to the seventh man, though, also, because most of them, like, a lot of them aren't even hockey fans. It's just they always hear the Bridgestone's just crazy. So they want to go see a crazy Preds game. So I kind of love, like, I love the fact that we've gotten that reputation through this process.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
I think that's part of the charm of it. So Mariota's leg, perfectly healthy. He did a magnificent job of, staying out of my section last night. I had to tell him, look, this is not your area. You need to go to your tables, my friend. I'm working these tables.
Really? So like you guys were running routes, and he's like, don't run routes near me.
Yeah, no audibles with me, good sir. So I stick to the game plan. So
you told him.
Mariota's leg, perfectly fine, and the Preds are loved.
Ask him about Derrick Henry?
No, I did not. I felt like, you know, place and time, okay, you know, maybe not there. So we're going to get into a lot today. There's some big NCAA rule changes that impact the SEC. Obviously, we have a ton to continue to break down on this Blackhawks series over the course of the day. We've got another Chicago Trib guy coming on, so you know that that's going to turn into trash talking quickly. And we've even got a UFC fighter coming in studio with us in hour number three. So it's going to be a fun day. You guys know I made the switch to Xfinity. With Xfinity X1, you get over 140 channels, a voice remote you can speak to, and access to Netflix. Plus, you can stream thousands of shows and movies on any device, anytime, anywhere, and you get blazing fast internet speeds up to 75 megabits per second. That's 25 megabits faster than what you get with AT&T. So I got an offer for you. Here's what you need to know. It ends May 1st, requires enrollment in EcoBill, paperless billing, and autopay. Restrictions do apply, not available in all areas. New customers only. Equipment taxes, fees, including broadcast TV fees and RSN fees, are extra, subject to change after promo. Regular rates apply. Here's what you need to do. For a limited time, get Xfinity X1 and internet for only $79.99 per month for 24 months. Enjoy the same rate for 2 full years with a 2-year term agreement and enrollment in EcoBill and AutoPay Plus. Get $150 back when you sign up today. Sign a switch now to get this limited offer from Xfinity. Call 1-800-XFINITY now. When we come back, there are some massive NCAA rule changes that have happened, and they impact the SEC. You need to know about it. We'll get you informed next. Brayden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Julian Council spinning these hits. Brayden Gall, Jason Fitz. I was asked last night how the Oracle is doing, and there are many people that are quite impressed with the Oracle's picking. So the Oracle has not yet made his pick for...
I'm more impressed with his picking than his DJ skills.
That was a...
By the way, I might as well just let you know, in case you did not see... Let me turn on my headphones. They are the wrong way. In case you did not see my tweet last night, today, on this Wednesday, I will be giving you the best of Vanessa Carlton, the best of Michelle Branch, the best of Sarah Bareilles, Nora Jones, and more. So
I love
you're
this.
Welcome.
Sarah Bareilles, I'm a big fan of. So this is
huge fan.
This is going to be...
My wife loves all those people.
Tune in, Haley. Hope you enjoy.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. So, and again, we're going to be giving away tickets. Don't forget today, every hour starting at 7 o'clock on every one of our shows, we're going to be giving away 2 tickets all day to get to the Preds game. So you'll be able to get to game 4. That's going to be happening throughout the day, so you want to make sure you stay tuned. The only way you can win is if you're listening when we call your name. You want to do that. So, Brayden, the NCAA has changed some rules, and it impacts the SEC. Kind of fill everybody in.
Yeah, a lot of stuff here, so I'll try to stay out of the weeds on this. One of them, though, we can get this discussion out of the way early. No more satellite camp discussion ever again. So thank the good Lord on that one. We never have to discuss it anymore. It's been limited to 10 days in June, and it's not going to be on high school locations anymore. It has to be on a college campus. So that one's done and over. Nice. No more argument from the SEC coaches. No more argument from the Big Ten coaches, from conference commissioners. SEC, all that stuff is over. Satellite camps, there's been a compromise. 10 days in June, you can have as many camps as you want in 10 days, but that's it. Then it's over, and you can't have it on a it has to be on a college campus. So that's done. So that's cool. You can hire a 10th assistant. So they're adding a 10th assistant coach to every single college team in America, which is a big deal.
Do you feel like maybe I'm in the running there for a 10th assistant?
I'll call Coach Stockstill in the borough and see what... So here's the deal with this.
I was thinking more Saban. Like, I mean, go straight for the top.
Here's the problem, though, because to get to that 10th assistant job, what's really going to actually happen is it doesn't go into effect until January. What's really going to happen is most of these guys are already on staff on these schools. Like, most of these schools already have these massive support staffs.
Right.
So what they're going to end up doing is they're going to end up hiring strength and conditioning guy or special teams guy or a second offensive line coach or whatever, and all these massive support groups big universities have. Because what they were worried about is this going into effect this summer and then like mass chaos happening where all the big schools were just taking all the small schools' coaches. What's going to happen in January now that it's been pushed back is that people are going to get – so Tennessee will hire probably either a full-time special teams coach or a second offensive line coach. They already have a quarterbacks coach, so it won't be that. But it'll probably come from within the Tennessee support staff that's already there. Most teams were already prepared for this and had a guy already sort of earmarked for this role. But very interesting, no more 9 assistant coaches. You will have 10 assistant coaches now for every major college football team, which is pretty interesting. Based on a ratio of student-athletes to coaches, it sort of evens that out compared to other sports. The biggest couple, though, that affect the SEC, first of all, early signing period has to be sort of affirmed by conference commissioners in June. So it's not 100% a done deal, but it's the same people, so it's probably going to be voted on positively. There'll be a 72-hour window in December early where you can sign a recruit, which changes National Signing Day in a big way. Which is obviously always the first Wednesday in February. What that means is that if you're a kid who's a diehard Tennessee kid or a diehard Vanderbilt kid and you want to go to those schools, you can sign early. That saves the school money. That saves the recruit time and pain and suffering and stress from getting phone calls from a bunch of people. You don't have to take a bunch of visits. Everybody saves everywhere. But what it really could do is it could help the smaller level schools like MTSU. It could help Western Kentucky. It could help some of these smaller schools that they normally get pillaged at the end of the process. Normally, when big school doesn't get the guy they want, they go to little school and take recruit from him. That's why Kevin Byard ended up going from Kentucky to MTSU, because he was going to go to Kentucky. They took a guy from Alabama at the last minute, and Kevin Byard ended up at MTSU instead. That's how he ended up being a third-round pick and playing for the Titans. So that the early signing period is going to – I think what it helps is it helps the student-athlete first. It helps the student-athletes who know where they want to go. Like, they're unequivocally decided as to where they're going to go. And it helps the smaller schools, I think, keep their recruiting classes intact, because it allows them to get those kids signed earlier, and then it keeps them sort of protected from being pillaged by the bigger schools a little bit later on in the process, a couple of weeks later. So it really does help a program like Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, the lower level tier schools of the SEC, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, those guys like that. It helps them. And we'll hear from Butch Jones coming up in just a few minutes about his comments about the early signing period. But the one that affects the SEC the most, that I'm most interested in, is the summer official visits. Now, if you don't know, you're not allowed to take an official visit. Official visit is one that is paid by the school. So you have a lot of young athletes who are poor and can't get all across the country and go to all these different places until the semester starts. Well, now, from April 1st until the end of June, you can pay for a recruit to come to campus. So what that means, and how this could negatively affect the SEC, is the northern campuses. Whether that's the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC, places like Boston College, Happy Valley, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, anything that's north, anything that's got really bad weather in December, that's when you can pay for a kid to come to school, like visit your campus. It's really awful in Ann Arbor and Madison and Minneapolis and Seattle and Boston in the middle of December. It's really cold. Well, now they can pay for you to come to those campuses in the middle of May and June when it's really, really nice. So that gives the northern schools an advantage in recruiting over the southern schools. That's the one big rule change that I think negatively affects the SEC, is that you can now pay for kids to come to campus. And frankly, that's when kids are making their decisions now anyway. You're making your decision right. So much earlier in the process that and Nebraska is going to benefit big from this, because it's impossible to get kids to pay their own way. I mean, have you ever tried to fly or drive to Nebraska? It's impossible. So being able to pay for those kids to come early in the decision-making process is a big win for the northern schools and for the obscure schools, for the Big Ten, for the North. That's the one I think that could really negatively impact the SEC.
It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, for all the best sports news, real-time updates, chances to win tickets, other cool prizes, follow our social media streams. Like us on the Facebook, follow us on Instagram and the Twitters, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Twitter at 102.5 The Game, and at 94.9 Game 2. So it's funny you mentioned that, because we talked about it when we first saw the news. And when I was on tour, you know, there are times of the year that you're really excited to go to certain places, and then there's times of the year you dread it. So it's interesting you mentioned it benefits the northern schools, because I don't think it benefits the southern schools, many of them, at all, because let's face it, like, Alabama is not nicer during the summer when it's humid, hot,
it's worse.
Gross. Right, exactly.
Gainesville in July is awful.
Right, so then, you know, you never want, and then you think about Ann Arbor, Madison, places like that. When we've gone up there on tour in the middle of summer, it's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
I mean, it's like fall year round. It's just perfect weather, and is what you think. And then you go up in the middle of December, November, and you're like, man, it's cold and it's freezing and there's snow everywhere. It's like every time we toured Canada, they put us on tour in Canada in the middle of January. Canada is beautiful, but it is not beautiful in the middle of January. If you tell me I have to go to Canada in June, I'm very happy. If you tell me I have to go to Canada in the middle of January, I'm not very happy. So I think that this is a big deal for the sales pitch of it, because the campuses look nice during the summer. The vibe is really electric during the summer. A lot of those Midwestern northern campuses have cool events. Like, we've played a lot of those things in the summer. They still engage in a good way. Like, I think it really helps their sales pitch.
And all the players are essentially down here, right? I mean, the South, the Southeast, Texas, California. Essentially, most of the athletes that go to play high-level college football, with the exception of a few places, maybe Ohio, Michigan, most of the athletes are down here. So, A, you're not only getting them to come to your campus in the north when it's prettier and nicer and a better sales pitch, but also, again, the timing within the process. Most kids have already narrowed down their list to two or three schools by the summer before their senior year. The big-time players.
Right.
Like, the guys that we're talking about are, like, we're talking Nebraska, Penn State, Ohio State, Washington. We're talking about the big schools that are going after the big prospects. Those guys have already narrowed down their list to two or three places, generally speaking. Not everybody, but generally speaking, by the time you get to the summer months. And you normally, before this rule, you could not pay for people to come there. Well, if you're a big-time player and you live in Atlanta, well, you can drive 3.5 hours to get to six different great schools. If you live in, you know, in the panhandle of Florida, you can drive up to Auburn on a weekend on your own dime and get there. You could drive to Tuscaloosa. You could drive to Starkville, or you could drive to Athens or Gainesville in 5 or 6 hours. And, you know, that you just, it's easier to get to those places for your on your own dollar. So this really does benefit the Iowas, the Nebraskas, the Wisconsins of the world. It benefits the northern schools, and it benefits the schools that are sort of tougher to get to. You know, Boise State, Washington, Oregon, places that, like, if you're a recruit from California, or if you're a recruit from Florida, let's say, a big-time player from Florida or Texas, how are you going to get to Eugene on your own dollar, on your own weekend? There's not many kids that can afford that. I mean, it's just the way it is. So same thing with Nebraska or Wisconsin or Michigan. If you're a kid from Florida, you can't afford that, and the weather's awful in December when Michigan can pay for it. So this is a big win for northern schools and strange, obscure, locational campuses in the north.
And if you think it doesn't matter, think of it in this relation. To me, it's a lot like staging a house. It's the little things. You want to show your house in the best possible way that you can.
Because once you get to Lincoln, Nebraska, like, it is impossible to get to Lincoln, Nebraska. But once you get to Lincoln, Nebraska, it is a spectacular football facility. It's as good as Oregon. It's as good as Alabama. It sells itself once you're there. It's just really hard to get kids to go to places like Lincoln, Nebraska, or Ames, or Iowa City, or wherever. It sells itself once you're there, but you got to get there, and being able to pay for them to come in the middle of the summertime is a big win for those programs.
So you mentioned the early signing period rules. We'll hear from Butch Jones and what he thinks of that. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, he's Brady Hall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Julian is on female singer-songwriter day, apparently, with the music and piano playing singer-songwriters. And
Says getting you ready for game four of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And Braden is
game
now.
Game four tomorrow, so we'll play a pump-up music.
Singer-songwriter.
Braden now just takes his headphones off completely when we come
back.
No,
I don't mind.
You know what Braden needs? You know what Braden needs? A vacation. Who needs a vacation? Damn, we've teamed up with Visit Florida, Park and Fly Nashville, and the Sheraton Bay Point to send one of you and three friends to Panama City Beach, Florida. Includes round-trip airfare, three-night stay at the Sheraton Bay Point, a rental car, and a round of golf for you and your friends. To enter the contest, go to thegamenashville.com /lovefl. So I don't know why that got that way at the end. So we've been talking about some of the
singer-songwriter influence.
It was. It got me all fired up.
Yep.
We got a bunch of preds we're going to get to in just a minute, and obviously drama with the Titans we're going to discuss. But I want to go back to the early signing period, because it's something that you talked a little bit about, and it's something that I think you made a great point about how it changes sort of the way guys can sign and sort of get locked into their school, get into a pattern, and not be as poached, which I think is incredible. And I think it's really good for student athletes. Butch Jones actually talked about what he thinks the effect will be. And this is Butch Jones talking about early signing period.
It'll change. I think the biggest thing you'll see is an inordinate amount of volume of in-season visits. You know, the one thing that does a little bit is it takes you away from your current team, but again, we'll have a plan. But, you know, something with early signing date has been something that we've been preparing for a long time. As we all know, it's been talked about for years and years and years, and we'll have a plan and we'll be able to adapt and adjust. But, you know, the positives for a young man who knows where he wants to go, he's able to sign on that day and move forward. I think the one thing we have to be cognizant of, as I spoke about, you know, in-season visits, is, again, everything is about the high school coach and respecting their programs as well. And, you know, I hope we don't get to a point where, you know, high school seniors are taking their visits and they're putting their high school football team second nature, so to speak. And we have to make sure that as a profession, we don't allow that to happen.
First of all, it was nice of Butch to join us from a motocross event.
Yeah. That was tremendous. Or somebody was mowing the lawn. I don't know which.
One of the two. But he's right about the official visits being increased during the regular season. That is, of course, why it goes hand in hand with the summer visit new regulation. You kind of can curb some of that problem and that issue in the regular season by allowing recruits to now take official visits in the summertime. So now, does that benefit major programs like Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, LSU? Maybe not, because those are the ones who want to wait till the very end to make sure they get the best possible player. But I don't. My bleeding heart doesn't go out to the biggest programs. They already have all the best players. And I want to see more balance in college football, and I think the rules – this, and by the way, this is the biggest, farthest-reaching, most sweeping change we've ever seen in recruiting regulation. I mean, this is – the biggest rules change we've ever seen in college football. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the early signing period.
Leave it to a coach, though, to take something that is so positive and has such a great effect on everybody, to find a reason why they're I don't want to get too excited for this, you know, because it could create a real problem for us in the fall. Like, I feel like that's such a Belichickian sort of moment where it's like, yeah, we won the Super Bowl, but do you realize we're weeks behind in our planning now? Well, I mean, that's what I feel like. You can't find a positive.
One thing is, I don't think we know about the early signing period is how will it affect the number of players that sign. Like, I don't think we know that yet. It'll be interesting to see, is it going to be a small number for the big schools like a Tennessee or an Alabama? Like, are they going to have 5 or 6 players sign early? Or are they going to have, because if you're a coach, you're going to press all your players to sign early. If you're Tennessee, you're going to be like, hey, Trey Smith, I want you to sign early. And guys who are going to enroll early, which is a bigger and bigger number every year now, those are the guys that will sign early. And what that does is it sort of removes them from your, like, plate. If you have a plate of worry, right? You've got,
a pot roast of worry.
You've
got, like, vegetables all
right,
around
it. Right, it's all 25 recruits that are in this big pot of worry. Well, if you sign 12 of them, you don't have to worry about those 12 anymore. And that means you don't have to waste time, money, effort. They don't get bothered by it. I mean, it's good. It's a win-win for both sides. And what it does is it could create for fans 2 signing days, which it will do, which will be more interesting and fun for us. So it is sort of a win-win for everybody. I think the one person it hurts is the big major power program that now can't go poach from the smaller programs, and I don't think that's a good thing. So I think it's a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah, I do think he makes an interesting point about, you know, the dilemma it can create for high school programs if they're taking their visits when they're taking their visits. But to your point, they're allowed to take their visits at other times. So it really becomes a sacrifice question of what's important to you as a kid. You know, so if you're looking at schools, you're just going to have to be sort of responsible and figure out what works best around your team schedule. I don't think that's asking a lot for the few that would affect versus the many that having the early sign. Like, and I think we're putting too much weight in the wrong side of Lady Justice's scale.
The only real negative on this is that there are a lot of players that like, the only scholarship offer I ever really got was not until after my senior year. And so what it does is, if you're a late developing player and you don't have any film of being a great sophomore or a great junior, and all of a sudden you have a great senior year and you've kind of come out of nowhere, what it does is it limits the number of spots you could possibly sign with. There's a limited number because half of the players have signed, so there's half of the scholarships available. So that does limit the late developing player, which is something to keep an eye on. It's something to, again, I'm fascinated to see how many players actually sign early. What percentage at the big schools? You know, the big Power 5, 65 teams.
How many
actually slots are filled early and how many are filled late?
When you think about being a kid and you think about sort of the process that recruiting is, you like being courted, right? You like everybody.
To a point.
You know, and so.
Then it gets really old.
Well, because really that's going to be the interesting conversation too, is like, how many of these guys want to sign early versus how many of these guys want the entire experience of, you know, being sort of treated like they're king of the hill? And
I think it depends on the personality, but there are a lot of big name players who get to about December and they are so tired of the 37 phone calls every night from 37 different coaches. Like, they're just tired of it. They're going, seriously, like, get this thing over with. And if you already know where you're going to go, that's what this recruiting period does. It allows you to sign early because you know where you're going to go. You're tired of taking phone calls from essentially salesmen. These are sales calls from all over the country trying to get you to come to their school. I'm tired of that. I want to get back to, I want to sign with my school and get it over with. Well, you can now in December, and it's over. And then the school saves about a month and a half, 2 months worth of time, effort, and money. You get some peace of mind or whatever. What'll be interesting is the guy who's committed for a long time. Let's say Jason Fitz is committed to Tennessee for a long time. You've been committed for 8 months, let's say. You're going to Tennessee. Early signing period rolls around, and Butch Jones calls you up and says, hey, man, you're going to fax in your letter of intent? You're going to sign early? And you go, yeah, I'm going to wait till February. What is that relationship going to be like?
Right.
When you've been committed to me for 8 months now, hey, I'm going to Tennessee, but now I have the chance to actually go to Tennessee, and I decide, I'm going to wait till February to decide. What does that do? Does that put strain on the relationship? Does he really want to go to Tennessee? Like,
now you just put more in the pot roast to worry. I mean, there's
more
pot roast worry going on. So
always needs more salt.
Every pot roast needs more salt. No, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch play out. Speaking of watching things play out, we're going to watch a series play out tomorrow night, at least the next chapter in it. And I heard something on our beloved 3D that comes on after us. I heard something on 3D yesterday that only cements my opinion that the Hawks are done. Ooh. We'll tell you what it is next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Intern Casey dancing. Julian Council dancing. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of joy going on. And, you know, I think part of the joy is because the Blackhawks are done. And, you know, I'm going both feet all in. You know,
counting your Blackhawks before they're hatched.
Oh, yeah. No, the Blackhawks are done. Like, I ate Blackhawk for dinner last night. It's over. You know, just chop the head off.
Palm has changed their menu.
Chop the head off, threw it in the stove, and threw it in the oven. And bam, an hour and a half later with a nice little sauce, we had roasted Blackhawk.
Perhaps a Stanley Cup production.
but you know, part of it comes from, you know, when we get off air, we get the opportunity, as I drive home, I get the opportunity to listen to our buddies on 3D come after us every day. And there was a really interesting point being made yesterday that, you know, Quenneville came out and said, essentially, for the day off, the Blackhawks have been told to just disband. Go, don't be around each other. Just get away from each other. Spend a day away from each other in this moment to regroup. And that, to me, says a lot. Because, again, as a guy that spent 300 days a year in 1 year, 300 days on a tour bus with 11 other guys, 12 of us crammed into one little space, as tough as that gets at times, I don't remember ever having a everybody go your own way. None of us get to spend time together. You know, that sort of a y'all need to just get some time apart says that they aren't working together as a team to me. Because ultimately, isn't that when you expect that they're going to do some sort of fun team bonding experience? Like, that's when you expect they're going to do something to remind them that it's a game and to just have a good time and sort of regroup. Like, I would be less up in arms about that than I am about this, because you're essentially saying, hey, the best way for this team to come together is for this team to separate.
So they should all go to Pinewood Social
and bowl a couple
of rounds, maybe have a nice latte.
Yes.
And perhaps
a frothy latte does sound delicious.
I'm torn on this. I think my first reaction to this, as they were talking about it, was Joel, and we've talked about this with Joel Quenneville. Joel Quenneville is sort of doing anything he can to mix and match lines. He just likes to tinker with his team when they're not playing well, and rarely do they not play well, and they're obviously not playing well right now. That he's just sort of throwing anything he can find up on the wall and seeing what sticks. This to me strikes me as the last resort of that. Now, I also think that sometimes getting away from your coworkers and spacing out and breathing a little bit can be very good for everybody. So it's not necessarily this awful indication of chemistry or unity or whatever.
If it were the middle of the regular season,
right, exactly.
I'd buy that.
But I'm with you. But again, my first reaction is this is the last resort here. You're reaching for something to help your team because you're down 3-0. And so that's where I'm starting with this is, hey, you know what? We're down 3-0. It's not working. I've tried every single different line combination I can think of, and it's not working. We had a 2-0 lead going into the third, and it's not working. Like, nothing is working. We've got to try something. Get the heck out of here. Go clear your heads and come back, and let's refocus. That to me strikes me as, it's not a desperation move, but it's a, this is at the end of my list of things to try to win the game move, like, is where it's at. I don't think it's, to me, it doesn't mean that they're going to win or lose on Thursday. It doesn't mean Nashville's going to win or lose, but it does tell me that the coach has got to the point where he's sort of at the end of his list of things to try, and he's like, guys, get out of here. Go. I can't talk to you anymore. There's nothing else I can tell you. You guys need to get away from each other, clear your heads, and then refocus and come back, and let's get fired up for game four.
I think
they will be very fired up for game four, which is a very dangerous proposition going back to home to Chicago.
I think for me, part of this, let's go from pot roast to cake, because we're having dinner and dessert.
So it's a pot roast of worry, but like a cake of celebration.
It's just a cake. If you can have a one layer cake, that's fine. But if you can have a two layer cake, that's even better. So I'm gonna make
a three layer cake yesterday.
Sounds so good. Yeah. I'm gonna make this into a two layer cake. Layer one is the fact that they're going away from each other for a day. Layer two is the interesting Quinville response when he was asked essentially after game three, does this team have the character to come back from a 3-0 deficit? And his answer wasn't hell yes. His answer was, we're gonna have to.
Ask me a question. This is what you're supposed to say.
Do you think that Julian Council and I have the character to come back from an 0-3 deficit?
Absolutely. You guys have trained for this your whole lives. You're prepared for this. This is what you do for a living, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you get paid to do. So absolutely, you've got what it takes to make a comeback. We just have to go out and execute, do all the right things, do the little things right, rely on each other, and refocus, and we'll be just fine. That's how you answer that question.
We're constantly coaching coaches on Coach Speak, you know, and then it's amazing because he could have come back and said, "Are you kidding?"
Like, absolutely.
I would have loved if they'd have said, "Do they have the character?" And he comes back and just rips the reporter. How dare you even ask me that? I'd be like, "Heck yeah, I'm all in on that." But when you come in and say, "We're going to have to," you know, that's not overwhelming.
You know what that is? That's Coach Speak for I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's what that is. I mean,
and that speaks to sort of where the problem is here, because when you stack the fact that they're disbanding to the fact that you're not getting this answer from the coach that gives you a lot of hope, and then we'll even add the third layer on this delicious cake of Blackhawk suckness. The third layer of this cake is their body language that we've talked about during the actual games. You start to look at it and say, man, these guys, there is something not clicking with them, and they're up, their backs are against the wall, they're in a corner, and they don't have what it takes to respond. That's what all of that says to me.
Well, and some of it, we've been very quick to sort of point fingers and blame at them, like they didn't do this and they didn't do that, and I think a lot of this, obviously, credit is given and deserved to the Nashville Predators for the job that they have done, taking them out of that element and totally disrupting the flow. I mean, literally disrupting passes. I mean, that's what they've done since the beginning, controlling the neutral zone. Did they play a great game in period two against the Blackhawks on Monday night? No, of course they didn't. Did they play a great game one? No, they didn't. But they're up 3-0 either way. I do think Thursday is getting more and more important in my mind. You want to finish this off. You have your foot on their throat. You need to finish them off, and it needs to be like Mortal Kombat. It needs to be a fatality. It needs to be over, and it needs to be finished, because you give them a little sliver of light, they're a good enough team that they can kick that door open, and they get back home to game five, and all of a sudden it's 3-2, and you're coming home to game six. Once you get to game six, Yogi Berra, you're one game away from game seven.
I feel like, honestly, so Mike and Mike were talking about this morning, the other Chicago series that's 8-1, and that's the Bulls and the Celtics. And the Bulls are on top of the Celtics right now, 2-0. And one of the conversation points that they were having was, it's not just that the Bulls are winning. The fact is, just when you look at the matchups, it looks like the Bulls are the better team. And that's why
body language for the Celtics not good right now.
But even just when you look at the matchups of the players and you say, okay, how do these two teams square off? I mean, they've faced each other six times total this year was the stat they came out with. Four of them have been wins by Chicago. And then you just look at NBA playoff, much like the NHL playoffs are about matchups. And when you look at these matchups, the Bulls are the better team, even if they're the 8 seed, because of this matchup. I would take the same argument. I think what we all slept on and what we didn't realize is that the Preds are flat out a better team than the Blackhawks. And that's weird to say because they didn't look like it at times.
Yeah, but I was going to say, even though the Blackhawks won 4-1 in the regular season, even though had 26 more points.
But we sit there and talk about how the Cavs can flip a switch and turn it on. If we haven't seen that at this point, like that, the reason that I think
the Predators have been the better team so far in this series.
Right.
And I think that they are showing what they had been capable of doing all season long and just didn't for whatever reason. Whether that was injury or new pieces falling into place or just inconsistency, whatever you want to call it, they didn't play like this the entire regular season.
Agreed. So. They absolutely didn't. But if you look just at the three games we've seen so far, it's not that the Preds have won that has me so convinced that game four, win or lose game four, they're going to win this series because they've been flat out the better team throughout this whole series. So that's what I look at.
I don't need it to go back to Chicago. I think they would lose game five if it got back to Chicago. I think Chicago would win in Chicago.
I don't think there's any reason to think that they'll lose two straight games in this series because they've played so incredibly well and they've just flat out outplayed Chicago. If they were winning all the games on lucky bounces, then you look at it and say, oh my God.
I'm on board. I think they're going to win Thursday night.
Plus, as we said the other day, the hockey gods obviously tipped the little rolling hockey table. So, the hockey gods are squarely on the side.
I was rewatching all the highlights again last night, like as I'm falling asleep, like rewatching the Pecorino. I'm just like, I'm still in awe of the Pecorino.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, like, I mean, we've never seen anything like it.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, it's insane.
So don't forget, we're going to be giving away starting next hour. We're going to be giving away two tickets every single hour. We've also got a ton of other cool stuff we're giving away. Julian's going to control a soccer giveaway, as always, and Snoop Dogg tickets coming during the course of the show today, too. So
here's a hint. If you're paying attention to the Champions League, you will get the question correct.
Too
bad.
So we've had, what, an MLS question and a Premier League question.
Yes.
So now we have a Champions League question.
Yes.
And really, if all of you...
Diversification. I like it.
If all of you are wondering why Julian's making this so difficult, it's because he desperately wants
he's
to
a
go
soccer,
to the game.
No, he's one of those soccer snobs.
Yeah. He wants to go to the game, and until he knows that he's going to the game, I don't think that he's going to be willing to just willy-nilly give these tickets out.
Most likely, I'm not going, so...
Oh, why not?
Why would you say such things?
I don't know, because I don't know. I haven't been given that confirmation, so...
Well, with that kind of attitude, dude, you're not going to get tickets.
I'm happy for the people who have won the last 2 days.
You know what? You're very Blackhawkish right now with that. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm very proud. You're going
to
get
I think we need to disband.
So, coming up next, Trevor Maddich had some crazy... he got into it yesterday about the drama happening within the Titans organization and specifically about Derrick Henry. There's disagreement on our own station. We're going to solve this issue and hear from Trevor. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.